We began looking on Sunday nights at the mysterious God. Is God mysterious? Can we know Him? Has He revealed Himself to us? And we answered that with an emphatic yes, He has, throughout Scripture. But a lot of people believe or think that we can't know God. It's impossible to know Him. I'm so thankful we have a God here today, this very second that I'm speaking, that we can absolutely know Him. And I was thinking about that. But a lot of people are lost in this world. You ever been lost before? How many have been lost before? You've been lost? Boy, I've been lost many, many times in my life. I remember one time I was coming back from college, and I had a friend driving with me, and he was in the car in front of me, and he said, Tim, now you got to follow me, because if you don't follow me, we're going to hit this intersection coming up on the highway where like five highways come together. You ever seen those things? They're crazy. And he said, you got to follow me or you're going to miss it. I said, oh yeah, sure, I got it, you know. And we were going along, and sure enough, we hit that intersection, and he went that way, and I went this way, and I went, you know, I waved, he waved at me like, you know, he's doing all this stuff, I'm going, you know. And sure enough, I got off, and I tried to find, this was back in the day, remember when you, this will shock some of you, your phone had no map on it, you remember those days? You're going, where am I? And I had an old, you know, paper map, and I'm, you know, which way's north? And I got on this back road in the middle of nowhere, and you know, I could hear the banjos or something go, you know, you get, what was that noise? One of those roads. And I thought, oh. And all, lo and behold, as my life goes, I got a flat tire. I was driving my this little truck, and I'm going along, okay, I'll just get through this and everything will be fine. You know, and I'm like, Lord, why me? I got out of the truck, and you know, it was one of those, some of you know, I don't know if you change a tire, but you have to take this long rod, you know these things, Noah, and you stick it through that hole in the back of the bumper, and then it lowers down the spare tire. I didn't know that, and I'm looking at, I'm under kicking it, trying to, all I had was like a Leatherman, you know, one of those things, and I'm trying to twist the thing. I couldn't figure it out. I saw this little lady's light was on, her house, I mean, middle of nowhere. I went over, knocked on her door, you know, she came out with a 12 gauge, you know, she, what do you want, you know. And I said, ma'am, I'm so sorry to bother you, and I'm not a crazy maniac, you know, but I got a flat tire, can you help me? She's like, no, but I know my neighbor, she called her neighbor, real sweet lady, real sweet. I hope I'll probably never meet her again until heaven, and I hope to thank her then. But I thought, man, I was lost. And I didn't get back to the campus till late. And I got back to the campus, and that ding-dong, my friend, you know, where you been, man? We've been waiting, we've been saying we're about to call the cops, man, we don't know where you went. And I got mud on my feet, and I'm just looking at him like, you know, you left me, man. But you've been lost before. It's a scary thing, isn't it? You're lost. You don't know where to go, what to do. And that's the way life can be sometimes. And I'm so thankful tonight we do not have to be lost. Amen? We know where we're going. We know who God is. And He's revealed Himself to us. And that's a fact, brother, you can take to the bank. And we see here as we've been looking through, God is not a mystery. He's revealed Himself. Now we come to chapter 4 of Genesis. We continued last week in Romans 1 and 2, and I wanted to come back here. And Genesis 4, notice if you will, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Now you folks know that story, I'm sure. But you think about it now, we see that after Adam and Eve have sinned, wouldn't you, if you were God, thank God you're not God, thank God I'm not God, your creation just rebelled against you. If you're like me, I would have said, I'm done with you. You are not listening. You refuse to follow my commands. You refuse to, Genesis 4, you refuse to follow what I've asked you to do. But yet we see here a God, as we left off last week, that would be done with his creation. He's not, is he? He's still dealing with or interacting with Cain and Abel, these two gentlemen. the sons of Adam and Eve. You know that. And so understanding some of this, as we left off last week, that there's a popularity today in our world with the idea of a mysticism, a mystique, right? That there is a mystic. There's a universe out there that's mysterious. There are things out there that you can't know. There are things we know that we can't know, but God's not a mystery. He loves us. He cares for us. He loves you. He loves you. And I've heard people before, they call and talk about themselves in a very negative way. They talk about themselves in a very poor way. They talk about themselves in a very harsh way. They don't think very highly of themselves. And if you're a child of God, if you're saved, that's a sin. Because God calls you a child of His. God calls you an heir. God calls you a joint heir. God calls you the redeemed. And you ought to rejoice in that. But we talked about some of that last week. There's a fascination today with the mysterious. And yet the Bible is very clear. There's nothing mysterious about the Bible. There's nothing mysterious about God. If you're searching for God tonight, if you're looking for a Savior, if you're looking for a truth, we're going to look at it in a minute. The truth is here. Jesus said, I am the truth. As we said a few weeks ago, Pilate stood in front of the truth. Truth is a person, Jesus Christ, stood in front of truth. And Pilate posed the question, what is truth? What is truth? To the personification of truth in Jesus Christ. You, my friends, have truth in front of you. You have a Bible you can read. You have an education. You know how to read. You know how to take and comprehend words and turn them into thoughts and et cetera, et cetera. You can understand and know truth. God's revealed Himself. I have a few things. We talked a little bit last week about what's called the abandonment mistake. Scores of people have come to the false conclusion that God has abandoned His people. God has abandoned His creation. Since we were disobeyed in that first sin, we see and think, many people believe God has forsaken us. This again is contrary to Scripture. Hebrews 13, what says what? I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Maybe some of you tonight have had a parent, a loved one, a child, a brother, abandon you, forsake you. My friends, you come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you, will never forsake you, will never abandon you. And so we saw the abandonment mistake. We saw that throughout Scripture. Number two, let me jump ahead here. There's an approval of righteousness. Again, a God that loves us, a God that cares for us, interacts with us. He desires, as we said last week, He gives us responsibility. And with responsibility always comes accountability, doesn't it? I want to check up on you. I want to know how you're doing, how you fulfilled that task I gave you, how you took care of what I asked you to take care of. That's a loving God. That's a loving God. And so we see that there's an approval. He says here, now Cain comes and literally disobeys the word of God. Unto Cain, verse 5, an offering had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. You can always tell the spirit of a person when they are convicted by the Holy Spirit through the word of God of a sin or of other things and their reaction to it. I didn't do nothing wrong. You folks that have children, you know how that goes, don't you? I didn't do anything wrong. What did I do? It wasn't my fault. It was her fault, his fault. And you think about it, no, coming back to God sought approval, or excuse me, wanted the fellowship of these two individuals, and these two men wanted the approval of God. Let me say thirdly, there's the acceptance of the offering. There's the acceptance. We see here the acceptance offered to Cain just as it was to Abel, but Cain refused this acceptance. He rejected that righteousness that God laid forth. There was sin at the door, it says, and on we spoke a little bit last week about that. It's acceptance. And my friends, again, I said this, but it's not hard to please God. Not hard. It's very simple. In fact, God came down and He said to Moses, here's what I want you folks to do. How many? It's got to be thousands of rules, doesn't it? No, how many was it? 10. Just 10 commandments, and they blew it. Later, the Judaizers, those Jews, would add to that 10 commandments and make somewhere around 613, 614 commands. I'd hate to live in that, wouldn't you? Now, you think about it. They were given, and God is not hard to please. God said, I've given you a book, 66 books compiled together. I've given them 40 different authors, and yet it's not hard to read. It's not hard to understand. You can understand it. I've given you what I want you to do, Tim. I've showed you exactly what you should be doing. Exactly. We were joking a little bit earlier today. I had taken a job at a fast food restaurant. And the boss came to me with day one. And you folks know that work so hard. And they say, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to do it. And the guy talked extremely fast. Have you ever had those bosses? And I couldn't understand what he was saying. And I'm going, yeah. And a teenager, I didn't really care what he was saying anyways, but I was just, yeah, okay. When do I get my paycheck? Is that the first question day one? Don't do that. And sure enough, I didn't know what he wanted me to do. And he'd come back and said, why didn't you do that? I didn't know you wanted me to do that. Were you not listening? No, I wasn't listening. You know, it was this and that. And I lasted a whole day. Okay, a whole day. And I quit. And that's not a proud moment. I said that before. But you think about it, God is not complicated. He doesn't make it hard for us, does he? Very easy. Notice this here. Now Cain rose up and slew his righteous brother. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, if you remember your scripture, you know what Cain is described as. He's described as a murderer. He's a murderer from the beginning, and he's likened to Satan, isn't he? He says, Cain, who was of that wicked one, and rose up and slew his brother, righteousness, there, in Abel. And he shows us there that when we disobey, we associate ourselves with the adversary. Now, think about that. You ever thought about the conversation that took place there between Cain and Abel? It says they went out there in process of time, and they talked with his brother. It came to pass, verse 8, when they were in the field, Cain rose up. I can't imagine, but I can only think that Abel said to Cain, now Cain, you know what to do. Cain, you know what's right. Cain, you know what the Bible says. You know that we have the truth here. It's not hard to follow. God didn't give us a bunch of list of rules. He just told us to do this and that, and that's it. Cain said, well, I don't like those rules. I don't want to follow that. I don't want to follow through with that. How many have people like that in your family? You love them and care for them, but they want nothing to do with God, do they? They want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. They want nothing to do with the salvation. Why? Because it's a bunch of rules. And the Bible's very clear, my friend, that it's not rules, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's not rules. And if you can get with your child and let them know very early on that it's not a bunch of rules you want them to follow, it's a relationship you're trying to what? Bring about. It's a relationship you're trying to build with them, and in the process of that, you are the authority, you're in control, not them, and if they follow your rule, it will be a happy day. Now again, not to stifle their lives, but God says, I want to bless your life. I want to provide for you. Now, thinking through this, and through process of time, God provides in place of Abel another seed. And I love this, that I have here, fourthly, there's the appointed seed. The appointed seed. Notice verse 25 of our text here. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another, notice this word, seed. You want to underline that in your Bible. Instead of Abel, whom Cain slew, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. There's an appointed seed. Do you know all the way back in the beginning, chapter 3 prior, verse 15, there is what? Another mention of a seed. There's another mention of a prophecy. Verse 15 of 3, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know, biology class, the woman doesn't carry the seed. So there's a great prophecy of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. But I'm so glad today that he said there's an appointed seed. I'm going to provide to you, although you messed up, you blew it. You royally blew it. I will provide to you a seed, a coming Messiah. And a God that loves us, a God that cares for us, does not abandon us. He actually has a plan thousands of years before Jesus is even incarnate to save us. Now that's a God that loves us. That's a God that cares for us. That's a God that wants to see you succeed in life, first and foremost, by accepting Him as your personal Savior. That's not a mysterious God afar off. That's not the God that the Hindus say. That's not the God of Muhammad. That's not the God of Charles Russell of the Jehovah Witnesses or Joseph Smith of the Mormons. No, my friends. That's the God of the Bible that said, I love you enough that Tim, thousands of years before you will even be thought of, I already have a plan. I have a plan. The psalmist will later say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully. God has a plan for your life, my friend. A plan for your life. And so we see here. Now, I want to shift gears just for a minute as we come back to this. So that we know God is not mysterious. God has clearly made known to us the truth. Now, why would God make himself known to us? Because we need to know the truth. We need to know the truth. He would be an extremely cruel God if when we die, we get up to some place of a judgment. He says, Tim, you missed the mark. Well, I didn't know what to do, Lord. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I didn't make that known to you. But anyways, here's punishment for eternity. That's not a God, is it? That's not our God. What's he say? I will reveal to you the truth. And again, I come back to this analogy of a parent. But you desire for your children to know the truth. You don't send them off into the world. Here you go. Do whatever you want to do. No, you warn them. There's people out there that want to harm you, honey. There's people out there that you want to be careful about. Can I go out at 3:00 in the morning? No, that's probably not a good idea. Why? The bad people are out. Can I do whatever I want to do? Can I be a lover of pleasure? No, you'll ruin your life. Now think about this. The truth. We need the truth. Now jump with me all the way to the New Testament in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we've been looking at John 4 on Sunday mornings, but I want you to see here, John chapter number 8, as Jesus again is speaking and having a dialogue here back and forth with those Pharisees and those opposers to him. John chapter number 8, verse 30, notice verse 30, and he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, notice that, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now that verse there has been used in many, many movies, if you haven't noticed that. A lot of literature throughout history has used that verse. You shall know the truth, truth shall make you free. You know, one of those stories. The truth. Well, we need to know the truth. We need to differentiate between truth and error. Truth and error. Too many today promote this him-hawing, middle-of-the-road type of mentality that you can't know the truth. Now, Jesus has manifested himself to us. He's not a mysterious God, as we said, for this express reason, that we would know the truth. You would know what's out there. You would know it. Now, as we see here, Psalm 15, Lord, who shall abide in the tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. You want to know God? You come through that. Speak truth. Lead me in thy truth. Psalm 25. Teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Psalm 40, verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness, thy truth continually preserve me. So again, truth makes us free. Makes us free. I can't imagine those dear people that have been incarcerated for many, many decades. You've seen some of those stories before, I'm sure. So one guy just recently, I can't recall his name, was just released after serving, I think, 25 years for something he didn't even do. We've seen those stories, right? Horrific stories. I couldn't imagine that. But you know one thing those fellas and those ladies and those individuals, they desire? Do they want a glass of tea? Well, sure. They want a hamburger? That'd be nice. You know what they want? Freedom. Liberty. I want freedom. I want to get out of this cell, and I want to do what I've been born to do, and that's be free. And as an individual, we are free. But in Jesus Christ, we find true freedom. True freedom. Sin, as you know, bondages the person. It entangles the person. And Paul says later to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, don't be entangled with the affairs of this world. Don't get caught up in the things that don't matter. Don't get bogged down with the things that don't matter. Now, let me say a few things here hastily. One, this truth. You will know the truth about this world. You and I want to know the truth about this world. Now, 1 John chapter 2 in particular, he speaks of this, knowing the truth. You cannot find true happiness in what this world has to offer. There's a lot of good things in this world, isn't there? Very good things. A lot of good people. A lot of good things happen. Good night. I love a double cheeseburger. I mean, amen. Can I get an amen to a double? I don't care where it's from. I just want a double cheeseburger. And there's some good things in life, isn't there? There's some good things. I just recently found something. It's called a tropical blizzard. Anyone have a tropical blizzard from Dairy Queen? You got to go over there tonight and get one. I'm telling you. And it's on me, by the way. Just go over and tell them who I am and they'll give you one. No. I mean, I love that. You love some of that stuff. Donuts. We had donuts. I love donuts. There are things, I'm being very silly, but you know, there are things we love about this world, but you got to be very careful because there's a lot we shouldn't love. And he will tell you the truth about this world. The Bible will clearly tell you the truth. Now, Jesus said this, as you recall, said, the world is going to hate you. Why? Because they hated me. Because you follow me, they're going to hate you because of that. You cannot find true happiness in what this world offers. The good life is not in things. You remember that. Jesus gave a parable of a man and he said, I've got an idea. I have so much income right now. I have so much happening and the economy is just astounding right now. I know what I'll do. I'll go home and I'll build a bigger barn. And Jesus said, thou fool, tonight thy soul is required of thee. You and I ought to keep in mind of that, that this could be our last day on this earth. And are you ready to stand before your God, your Maker? Now, we cannot find happiness, true happiness, in this world and what it has to offer. The good life is already yours, is already yours. Jesus warned those disciples and he says, beware of that. Those individuals already have their reward. It's here. Those people that have big things, fancy stuff, and all this money, no problems it seems like, but they don't have any God in their life. They have their reward. Our home is in heaven, right? Our home is in heaven. We're still going. I'm just a passing through. My heaven, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You cannot love God, number two, and love this world. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one, love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is a representation of basically money or material things. Now you can't do it. I'm coming back to here, truth makes us free. We've got to know truth from error. You will know the truth about this world, that you can't love the world and love God. You can't do it. You just can't do it. And if you've tried it before, you know it's a hard road. It's a hard task to go. Let me say, number two, though, you will know the truth about the devil. The devil. Now, 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The adversary is constantly at work in our lives. The adversary is constantly at work. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. You know why the adversary is blinding the minds and eyes of the world? So they don't get saved. And by the way, not to be harsh, but the main goal of the adversary for your life is to take you out of this world. He's trying to kill you. You may say, oh, I don't believe that. Read the Bible. He's trying to kill you. Why? Because we're a witness for Christ. He doesn't want anyone else going to heaven, does he? He wants to take everyone he can with him. And he's trying to take you. Now, again, we said a few weeks ago, nothing happens in your life except what God allows, permits, or allows. Nothing. Everything has to come across the desk of our Lord and our Savior. You say, well, why do bad things happen? Why do I have such a hard life? You just stay close to God and he'll show you. He'll help you through those dark times. But we know it's all for our good. He's our adversary. He's our enemy. He's a deceiver. He will not tell the truth. John 8:44, down in verse 44 of our text, notice it says, ye are of your father, the devil. The lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. The father of it. He's likened and described in Scripture as a murderer, a liar, but later he'll be described as a deceiver or the deceiver. He tries to deceive us. You know that? Just a slow deception. Slow deception. Rome didn't fall in a day, did it? Slow deception. That's what he wants for our lives. And my friends, can I encourage you this week? You need to be in your Bibles. You need to be reading your Bible. You need to be in prayer. You need to be staying close to God. Why? Because just one little hiccup, one little breach, he'll stick his foot in the door, won't he? And he'll start to widen that door up. It's a slow, slow fade. It's a slow process. But he's a deceiver. He will not tell you the truth. But a God that loves you and is near you will tell you the truth. He'll tell you. I am so glad and I thank you. Thank God for the doctors we have. But if I went into the doctor tomorrow and he looked at my charts and did some things on me, some examination on me and other things, he came back into the room and gave me that weird look, you know. I'd say, what's wrong, doc? Nothing. Don't worry about it. You go home and live your life. You're fine. Don't worry about it. No, what's wrong? What's wrong? Tell me the truth. No, don't worry about it. I don't want to give you a bad day. I'd grab that doctor, wouldn't you? Tell me the truth. What do you do? Tell me, you ain't got long. I want to know the truth. Why? So I know what to do. Jesus does not hem-haw around. He doesn't mince words. Have you ever read the Bible before and you go, ouch, you know, that was for me. he hits it right on the head and he says, Tim, you're a sinner. Tim, you need to get saved. You're wrong in that situation. You need to get right with me, etc., etc. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He works hard at keeping you from the truth. He tells you his lies to distort the truth. He will tell you, thirdly, the truth, and he will twist it, make it a lie. The Bible later, he'll say, Peter says in 2 Peter, he says, some will take the scriptures and wrest the scriptures, W-R-E-S-T, wrest, where we get our word wrestle, means to twist. And he says they'll twist the scriptures to fit what they believe, to fit what they want, to fit. And my friends, today, the only way to know the truth and to differentiate and discern those people out there that twist the scriptures and twist doctrine is to know the Bible. We've got to know the Bible. We've got to know what the Bible says. And you know this, any banker is trained not to know the counterfeits because there's so many all the time coming in, new counter. What are they trained to do? To know the original so well that if any counterfeit came across their desk, they'd immediately, that doesn't feel right. That doesn't look right. That doesn't smell right, right? They know it. You and I ought to know the truth, the original, so well. Now, he's an accuser of the brethren, but we must know he's been defeated by Christ. I love this. 1 John 3:8, listen to this. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. My friends, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Don't be fooled for a second to think that the adversary has any foothold in your life, to think that he can defeat you. If you are on God's side, you need not fear a thing. You trust God. He is mightier. He's been manifest to destroy the works of the devil. If the adversary is getting in your ear, the adversary is whispering things in there, you know what I mean. He's getting you to think, I can't do that. I shouldn't do that. Or I should do this that's wrong. My friends, you need to come back to the scripture. As you know what happened with Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter number 4, he was led up into the wilderness to be tempted, wasn't he? And Jesus said, I will tell you what... No, what's it say? Jesus said, who was the Word incarnate, but he says this for our sake. He says, the scripture says. The scripture says. The Word says. You and I have one defensive weapon, and that's the sword of God, isn't it? Sword of truth. The Bible. You need to know the Bible. You know that already. But he's been defeated. He's been defeated by Christ. Number three, let me say this and I'll conclude here. You will know the truth about freedom. About freedom. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're one of his. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Jesus Christ has already made us free. My friends, you're not free or waiting to be free. Excuse me. You are free. You already have the victory. You already have it today. You need to know that through Scripture. We're free from the bondage of Satan, Hebrews 2:14. We're free from the bondage of the old nature, Colossians 3, verse 9. We're free from the bondage of sin, Romans 6 and verse 6. People make excuses why they sin. Listen, we're free from the bondage of that. You don't need to be in bondage. If you're a true child of God, you give it to God. God, I give this to you. I can't handle it. The addiction is too strong. I can't deal with it. You know God will help you? If you'll make a true effort in that, He will help you. You know the truth about freedom. Not freedom what the world offers. Not freedom from a pill. Not freedom from the bottle. Not freedom from some illicit video. Not freedom from some other thing. Freedom in God, in Christ Jesus. And it comes from Him. It comes from the Bible. That Jesus Christ made us free. The bondage is not a matter of behavior, but rather of belief. Notice this. It's important that we behave as God would have us to, but our behavior cannot change what we are. Behavior is an indication of what we believe. If you believe something, you'll act on that, won't you? You believe it. You believe daddy's going to swat your backside, you're going to act on that. I won't do that again. You believe that if you go and show up to work tomorrow, you'll get a paycheck. You'll act on that. You believe it. So again, behavior is an indication of what we believe. If you believe the world can make you happy, you behave accordingly. You believe that you're worthless, you behave accordingly. You believe that you are a saint, saved, sanctified, you believe that way. My friends, which way do you believe? We've got to know what we believe. Doing right is not what sets us free, but rather doing truth. Let me clarify this last statement and we'll be done. Doing right doesn't make us free, but doing the truth. How many have we known people? I've known many that have tried to do what's right, but you know they're not saved. They don't know Christ, right? They do what's right. If I clean myself up and I do what's right, and this is the idea of the world. The world teaches reformation, to reform you. Your form is off. It's skewed. So they take it and they reform it. The Bible not once speaks of reformation. It speaks of transformation. We've said this before. Transformation is a complete change. It's from the ground up, completely. It's from the inside out. People today, you know some other people, they were labeled legalistic. They try and change it from the outside in, don't they? They try and clean up the outside, and yet they truly need to work on the inside. And this is what happens. Doing right is not what sets us free, rather doing the truth. John 3:21, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, they are wrought of God. When we believe God's truth, right behavior follows. It's God's will that you would know the truth today. God's not mysterious afar off. He wants you to know the truth. The truth from the error, the right from the wrong, so that you would know, especially, ultimately, you'd stand before Christ one day. That great, wonderful statement. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in. Enter in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. See, you knew the truth. You know the truth. My friends, today, can I encourage you? You need to know the truth. You have questions about the truth. I'd love to share from the Bible how you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the greatest day in my life, and I know it is in many of your lives. To know the truth. To know what's out there. Many today preach and teach something that's not right. And we here at this church preach solely the Word of God. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge, notice this, of the truth. God's desire is that you know the truth. If you'll continue in His Word, you'll know the truth. And that truth will make you free. It'll make you feel bondage today of sin, of flesh. Come to the truth. Now again, coming back to this, that God is not afar off. He's nigh. He's close to you. He's close to you. You think about that. I can recall many, many years ago when I was small, getting lost in the store. And I had one of my cousins with me. And we got lost in the store. Boy, he started freaking out. And he said, "Oh, I don't know what's, we're lost forever." You know, he was just one of those dramatic people. I think he kind of still is today. I don't know. And he said, "Oh, we're lost forever. What are we going to do?" And I said, "I don't know. You know, calm down. We got to figure something out." He said, I saw something one time. I don't know if he saw it on TV or something. He says, "You got to go to the information desk and tell them to call your mother on the speakers, you know." So he went over and, you know, he's crying and the lady's going, "Oh my goodness, what's wrong with these kids?" And he said, We're lost. No one's ever going to come get us. I said, "Mrs. Travis, can you please come to the front desk?" You know, and my mom was here. "What are you doing?" "I told you to stay in the car," or something like that, you know. Do you ever have that feeling before? Some of your parents have lost a kid in the store or something. You're going, "Oh no," you know, it's a serious thing. Your heart sinks and you go, "I don't know where they are." And we lost one of our little ones. She's a little rascal and she was hiding in between the racks, you know, the clothes. And peekaboo, and it's like, you know, you think about that, you can be lost. So many are lost today. So many are lost in this world, aren't they? I'm glad today we have the truth. We know where to go. We know what direction we're supposed to be going. We don't have to wander around in this world. I hope you know that. If you have any questions tonight about the Word of God, I'd love to share that with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I say this often, you need to make sure of that tonight. Tonight would be the night to get saved. Amen? All right. Well, thank you for coming tonight, listening so intently. Hope that was a blessing to you. Hope you read your Bibles. Let me encourage you, friends, tonight. Stay in your Bible this week. You don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. But get in your Bibles this week. Stay in prayer. People are depending upon you to be faithful to God. Amen. All right, let's have a word of prayer. I'll let you folks go tonight. Lord, we thank you so much again for these folks that come in tonight. Thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you, God, for working in our lives, working in my life especially. I pray again, Father, as I've said, I pray you'd bless the mothers in here, the grandmothers, the ladies, that you'd put a hedge of protection about them as they, Lord, are ministering to so many around them, especially the children, the grandchildren. Be with our fathers tonight, Lord. Protect them from that wicked one that desires to destroy their lives and ruin their families. Give them the strength this week to work hard and stay dedicated to you, Lord. I pray for our children that you'd keep your hand upon their lives as well and that you'd keep them faithful, Lord. If any of them are not saved, that, Lord, you'd begin to work in their lives about that great need. And Father, I pray you'd bless our church in the days ahead.
Guide each one of us as we go our separate way this week. Lord, the wicked one is seeking to destroy our lives. And yet, God, you will protect us if we stay close to you. Give us the strength, the stamina, the discipline to be in your word this week, to not skip a day, to not take other activities in place of that, but take time with you, Father, in prayer and looking to you. We need you, Father. You know that. We're utterly dependent upon you. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for not abandoning us, God, but being very nigh unto us. In Jesus' precious holy name we do pray. Amen.